Once upon a time, there were four little rabbits.
How old are you, Johnny? She asked.
16.
We few, we happy few, we band of brothers.
It was the best of times. It was the worst of times.
A wise old king once said, "Of the making of books, there is no end." How true today. Of the overabundance of writing published each year, what's worth reading? The answer is simple. Read only the best. Come join the discussion on Just the Best Literature.
Hello again, everyone. Thanks for listening in today. Well, we are taping this program on April 9th. And really, the timing could not be more appropriate. This day has been set aside in history to celebrate the life of Sir Winston Churchill. So, happy Winston Churchill Day to all of you listeners out there. Now, I'm sure you're probably as surprised by that as I am. I did not know that April 9th has been set aside as Winston Churchill Day. And I'm sure you didn't know it. And I'm sure your community is not holding big celebrations about Winston Churchill. I know here we are in Edmond, Oklahoma, and there's no big celebration. There's nothing in the paper. Let's celebrate Winston Churchill today. But I thought what I'd do for today's program, since it is Winston Churchill Day, I thought that I would give you some interesting facts about Mr. Churchill that you may not know or recognize unless you think about him. Now, the book we're reading, or you should be reading right now, is Paul Johnson's biography titled Churchill. Now remember, this is a biography that's considered popular biography. It's definitely not a definitive biography. And so some of these facts that we're going to discuss are not in this book. Some of these facts are in his book, and we're going to be talking more about them as we go through the series. But it is interesting that I know the circle of friends that I spend a lot of my time with consider Sir Winston Churchill Western civilization's most beloved political figure. Now, even more, I know that here at Herbert W. Armstrong College and, here at the Philadelphia Church of God, we know that he was a great leader and a protector of freedom. In fact, he really did save Western civilization from the Nazi curse. Now, in our final program on the Churchill series, we'll talk about this more. Now, I think Mr. Churchill is pretty well known for his stubborn resistance to Hitler during the darkest hours of the Second World War. Now, I have seen the most recent movie titled Darkest Hour about Winston Churchill, and I don't think it does an adequate job of showing the reality of his stubbornness. There's one part of the movie where it looks like he's weakening and he's going to consider negotiating with Hitler. That never happened in history. And he never considered entering a peace negotiations with that crazy, madman. He never did consider it. Now, unfortunately, because of this stubbornness, there are many liberal, left-minded people in this world who have little respect or regard for this truly great man. And we'll talk about that issue also in another program as well. But I just want to give you some really surprising facts. And I am taking this off of biography.com, so if you wanted to go and look it up for yourself, you can still find all these facts there. But again, we're to be celebrating Winston Churchill today. So the first fact I want to give you actually explains how this day started. And it was on April 9th, 1963, that President John F. Kennedy made history by bestowing former British Prime Minister Winston Churchill honorary American citizenship. This had been never been done before. Now, Churchill was the first person to receive such a rare honor, but because of his failing health, and he was getting much older, he died two years after this, he was unable to attend the ceremony, but in his absence, his son and his grandson accepted the award for him. Now, why would John Kennedy do this? Why would he give a British prime minister honorary American citizenship? Now, there's actually two reasons for it, but the main reason is that he was being remembered. And this is back in 1963. He was being remembered for his unbending leadership as Prime Minister of the United Kingdom during World War II. Now, Churchill really should be considered, and I think he was at that time, one of the greatest wartime leaders in history, not just in these modern times, but in history. And it was through his influence and his political might that he helped further cement the special transatlantic bond between the United Kingdom and the United States. We know we're brothers. And, you know, he's really was very influential in doing that. Now, to really celebrate Winston Churchill Day, I think it's just appropriate that we kind of review some of the surprising facts about, well, that British bulldog. And there's been a lot of caricatures that make him look like a bulldog. But maybe we all need to be bulldogs, and here's some things we can chew on about Winston Churchill. Okay, like I said, there's two reasons why he probably received this American citizenship. The second reason is, how many of you out there know that Churchill was actually half American? Now, a lot of people may know that, but if you're maybe you're a young listener, maybe you're reading his biography for the first time, you know, Churchill's mother was American. Now, one of the things that we need to maybe look at here briefly is Sir Winston Churchill was born on the 30th of November, 1874, and he was born at the Blenheim Palace. Now, that's really near Oxford, and that is such an amazing estate. And I was, as a young man, I think the first time I saw Blenheim Palace was in like the 1990s, late 1990s, and I was just imagining what it would be like to grow up in that estate as a child. I mean, there was acres and acres of ground to explore. And so that's how he grew up. So he was the son of an aristocrat. He came from an aristocratic family. His dad was the Duke of Marlborough. And so as a young boy, he was brought up by servants and, well, friends of the family. Now, it wasn't unusual at that time that British aristocrats that had these large estates would kind of marry very wealthy Americans. And, of course, I know that the Downton Abbey series was, very popular with a lot of people. And, of course, the lord of that estate also married a very wealthy American woman. And so this was part of really British history. Now, again, his father was Lord Randolph Churchill. But what he did is he married the Brooklyn-born socialite Jenny Jerome. Now, her father was a very successful American financier. And so it was, it was an advantage to him to marry someone very wealthy. And, of course, it was an advantage to her to marry an aristocrat because, you know, they lived and they moved and they worked in the upper crust of England. And so, like I said, even Winston Churchill, he was he was not born at where his parents were actually living. He was born, at the palace. And so it was really quite interesting. Now, the family, Jenny and Lord Randolph, they had two sons. And it's really interesting. Winston was the oldest, and he had a brother, Jack. Now, one thing that's really interesting, and I think it is Paul Johnson that brings this out. And I'm going to turn to page 7. And if you have your copy of the biography, you want to turn there. But it's interesting that his father, again, was a British aristocrat. And sometimes, I mean, I have, there's a lot of people I know that are British. And, of course, British people can, and we all have our caricatures or our impressions of people and their attitudes. But it seems like Winston's father was typically British, and he had the tight upper lip, and everything had to be perfect. And they were, like I said, they were people that would have intermingled with royalty, so they had to really be very careful about how they dressed and how they talked and how they acted in public. But his father, actually, when you really look at it, he made a lot of mistakes, had a lot of trouble in his career, and actually did suffer from some pretty serious problems. But it's interesting that Winston was so different than his father. In fact, here's what Paul Johnson says about it. And again, this is page 7. It said, "It was rather from his mother that Winston derived his salient characteristics of energy, a love of adventure, ambition, a sinuous intellect, warm feelings, courage, resilience, and a huge passion for life in all of its aspects." So his father was like a typical staid British guy. His mother had all the vibrance and the life in her. And, when she walked into the room, she wanted to be seen as the star. And even Winston says that about her, that when she walked into a room, it's like a star came in the room. And so it's kind of amazing that actually Winston Churchill was actually more American in his outlook than he was British. But yet he rose to that very high office, in Britain. So we'll talk more about that as we go along. Especially we'll talk about him and his mother and his father and his he had a very, very rough childhood. Okay. The next fact I want to talk about that you may not know about Mr. Churchill is he really struggled in school. And it definitely, from my understanding of what I've read and from what I can see and consider, it's definitely not, he was definitely did not struggle in school because he was not intelligent. In fact, it was just the opposite. I do think it had a lot to do with being stubborn and not liking what he was trying to be taught. But also, what is maybe not well known is his parents were so involved in politics and they were so involved in their life that they sent him to boarding school at the age of 7. And he hated it. He really hated this boarding school. In fact, he did very, very poorly. And it's one of those things that it's just really sad to read about, and it's really frustrating. But when he was very young, his father just believed he would never amount to anything at all, and he just hated school, and I think a lot of it was because he was just not around his parents. And they very seldom came to see him at this school. And his father even one time had this political engagement very near the school and never even stopped by to see his son. And yet his son had heard his dad was right in town. So you could see that would really hurt him and why he would hate school. Now I want to read to you from another book. And this is a book called Churchill, The Power of Words. And it's by Martin Gilbert. And in this book, What this is, it's a lot of quotes from his speeches, from some of his other writings, and we're going to bring some other writings in to supplement Paul Johnson's, book as we go through this. But he has a book that we cover here in sophomore English, and it's called My Early Life, and it's an autobiography of Winston that he wrote when he was much older, but he wrote it from the time he was, I guess about 7 to the time he was about 25. And it's really good. It's really good for young college students to read it because he was so energetic and he accomplished a lot. But Martin Gilbert in this book, he takes a clip out of this book, My Early Life, and he refers to his time at school as this hateful servitude. And so here's what Martin Gilbert has to say. And this is on page 4. If we're not going to cover this book, the whole book, in this series on Churchill. But if you ever wanted to get another book that's just great to read, and it kind of gives you a selection of all of his writings and speeches, and it would you would have to cover several you know, different books to find all these things, and Martin Gilbert's done it for us. But again, it's called Churchill, The Power of Words. And you know, it's really not that expensive, but it's really fun reading. So here's what he wrote in my early life about this time, his time at school. He says, 4 weeks before his 8th birthday, Churchill's parents sent him to a boarding school. It was St. George's Ascot outside London. He recalled his time at that school in his book, My Early Life. Now, here's a quote from that book. He said, "How I hated this school, and what of life of anxiety I lived. There for more than 2 years, I made very little progress at my lessons, and none at all at games. I counted the days and the hours to the end of every term when I should return home from this hateful servitude and range my soldiers in a line of battle on the nursery floor." So, you know, Winston Churchill loved everything about armies and military life. And some people think, well, he was really just really into war, which he really was not. I mean, he would fight. If there was a war and if people were attacking him or Britain, he would fight. He would fight to the death for that. But he loved to, he had about 1,000 soldiers that he would range in battle. He said, "The greatest pleasure I had in those days was reading. When I was 9 and a half, my father gave me Treasure Island, and I remember the delight with which I devoured it. My teachers saw me at once backward and precocious, reading books beyond my years and yet at the bottom of the form. They were offended. They had large resources of compulsion at their disposal, but I was stubborn. Where my reason, imagination, or interest were not engaged, I would not or I could not learn. In all the 12 years I was at school, no one ever succeeded in making me write a Latin verse or learn any Greek except the alphabet. I do not at all excuse myself from this foolish neglect of opportunities procured at so much expense by my parents and brought so forcibly to my attention by my preceptors. Perhaps if I had been introduced to the ancients through their history and customs, instead of through their grammar and syntax, I might have had a better record." And so he hated grammar school and he hated his school life. But again, we're going to talk much more about that as we go through the series. Now, the other interesting fact you may not know about Winston Churchill is he did suffer from a speech impediment. Now, it is interesting. If you can buy tapes, by the way, of many of his speeches. A lot of them were recorded, you know, through the BBC, and you'd have to really be hard pressed to think he had a really serious lisp. But he actually. You know, it was kind of a genetic thing. He actually inherited the same lisp that his father had. And Winston Churchill had the really difficult time with pronouncing the letters S and Z. Now, to help him with his impediment, Churchill would do exercises, repeating phrases such as, "The Spanish ships I cannot see, for they are not in sight." Now, I did that. I was able to get through that. Now, what's really funny is in later years when he was probably doing a lot of his speaking, that of course you know, his teeth were failing him, and he had to get dentures. So he went to the best dentist in England, and they made him a set of dentures that actually ameliorated his issues with lisping. And in fact, his dentures are still on display in a museum in England. And we'll get you all the facts on that. That comes out in some of these other books. So he had the best dentures, and it helped alleviate his lisp. Now, one other thing that people do not know, and here's another interesting fact, that Churchill was a prisoner of war. Now, in this Churchill biography by Paul Johnson, I'm also reading at the same time the one by William Manchester, and his mother had a lot to do with this, but Churchill really wanted to be conspicuous. He wanted to make a name for himself, and of course, a lot of people feel like he did that by just chasing war after war after war, and his mother, was very influential in helping him to be able to do this. But after Churchill graduated from college, he did serve as a news reporter and later as a war correspondent. And also he was a military officer. And what happened is while he was on assignment in South Africa in 1899, Churchill was captured by the Boer guerrilla fighters. And essentially the Boers, if you don't know the history, and you will learn it, they're Dutch descendants who were fighting the British in South Africa. And essentially what he was taken prisoner. And again, he was not in the military at that time. He was a war correspondent, but he was on a train with some military soldiers, and the Boers had manipulated the tracks to stop the train, and so he was taken prisoner, but he was not happy with being a prisoner, and so what he did is he escaped, and he scaled a prison wall in the middle of the night, and then he traveled, by night. By day he hid out, by night, and he eventually was praying that he would be spared or be saved, and he found this British coal miner. And so this coal miner hit him in a mine shaft for 3 days, and eventually then he was hidden in a train, and he made it to Durban, South Africa, and when he got off the train, he was hailed as a hero. And I'll tell you that the Boers were so upset by that, they wanted to have him executed, they wanted him found, they wanted to kill him. But that really did, make him famous. Okay, here's another fact, interesting fact. It was Winston Churchill who introduced the term Iron Curtain. Now, Churchill was very good with words, and we'll talk about this when we get into his education. And, he never could do Latin and Greek. He loved French. And then in school, he had one of the greatest, best grammar teachers in England, and he taught him the English language. And so it was Winston Churchill that actually coined that phrase and called it the Iron Curtain. Okay, one last point that we're going to have time for in this program is Churchill actually won a Nobel Prize for Literature. Now, a lot of people don't know this, but Winston Churchill was a prolific writer, and he made his wealth by writing. And now he had a team of people. He had a personal secretary, and he had a team of people helping him. But he's written over 20 books. And he did win the Nobel Prize in Literature for his mastery of historical and biographical description. And so here, you could think he was uneducated when he was in school, but he loved history, and he loved the English language. And there's even some, have quoted him, as saying that he waged war with words, and he used words to his advantage. Here's what Paul Johnson says on page 11. And again, I think this is very interesting. And he's saying that he just talks about his writing. He says, words were also his main source of income throughout his life from the age of 21. Almost from the start, he was unusually well paid, and his books eventually made prodigious sums for himself and his descendants. He wrote thousands of articles for newspapers and magazines, and over 40 books. Some were very long. His account of the Second World War is over 2,050,000 words. Gibbon's Decline and Fall of the Roman Empire, by comparison, is 1,100,000 words. Now, here's what Johnson says. I calculate his total of words in print, including published speeches, to be between 8 and 10 million. That's a lot of words. There can have been few boys who made such profitable use of something learned at school. In that sense, Winston's education, contrary to the traditional view, was a notable success. I think those are some really good and surprising facts. It's a good time we can review these. We can have Winston Churchill Celebration Day, and you can do it when you hear this program. I don't think Winston Churchill would mind. But I just wanted to say, sorry, we're out of time for today. And again, that always happens, and that's a good thing. But next time, we're going to get into our discussion of Paul Johnson's Churchill. And if you have not gotten the book yet, remember, you can get it at Amazon for about $14. You can also find a really good used copy of the book for around $6 at abebooks.com. So please write me any comments you may have to jbl at pcog.org. You can follow JBL on Twitter at jbliterature1. You can also follow JBL on Facebook. Simply search for Just the Best Literature. Remember, you can leave me a comment at Facebook. And so, until next time, keep reading.
You've been listening to Just the Best Literature on Trumpet Radio, 101.3 KPCG, streaming online at kpcg.fm and thetrumpet.com.